Well, I didn't realize that we were going to have a lot of visitors until Steve sent me a text or something like late yesterday afternoon and said, oh, by the way, Jeff is going to stop by with a couple people. He didn't say most of Charlotte was coming, but that's okay. Maybe you'll learn a little bit about me. I'm Steve's backup, you know. I don't really do sermons. I do encouragements, right? Yeah, I do encouragements. So a lot of my encouragements are kind of more down to earth. You know, Brother Steve, he can, you know, quote scripture for 45 straight minutes and then take a second breath. That's not me. I'm more, what's happening in my life kind of thing, and is it happening in yours? So for those of you that are Facebook friends with me, you know I've been doing some household upgrades. Now I'm going to have to digress just for a moment, let the folks know that are visiting. I had a deck on the back of my house that was 40 feet long. 40 feet. 12 feet deep at one end, and then it narrowed down to 10, but that was it. I called it the Ark, because I felt like if the floods would come, I could just cut it loose from the house and we'd be fine. Anyway, the Ark has become very weathered and worn. The boards are, you know, starting to turn up and turn right and turn left, and nails are starting to come up, and not safe for little kids and bare feet. So I looked at a lot of different possibilities of what I could do. You know, maybe go with them plastic boards, very pricey. Maybe refinishing the whole thing. No, we're not going there again. You know, the railings were all falling apart, and I said, you know what? It's got to go. Because there were so many unknowns about what I was going to do, because normally I'm very planful, I figure out what I'm going to do from point A to point B, and then I work towards it. There's too many unknowns. And so I thought, the one thing I know, the deck has got to go. And so I began disassembling the deck. It wasn't like I went out there with an axe and chopped it up in pieces. No. I disassembled it one nail at a time. I pulled the nails out too, so DJ could use the boards. Nails that I put in a long time ago with the intention they were never going to move. Lesson for the young people. Never do anything that you think is never going to change, because that's when it will. That being said, you know, it is important sometimes that we stop and come up with the right priority and sequence of how things are going to go. Another example about prioritization is before you replace the ceiling fan, find the right breaker to turn off the power before you begin the disassembly. Just so you know, I have tried not to do that step. I've tried to skip that step a few times, and I always convince myself, well, if I'm really careful with the wires, nothing bad will happen. Yeah, well, you know what? I've been bit more than once. But I keep convincing myself I can skip that step because it's so much hassle to go find the breaker. You know what I mean? I'll be careful. Yeah. So, first things first, proper prioritization even in our Christian walk. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Christian first things first. We all prioritize things every day in our life and we don't think twice about it. If you need gas in your car and you don't have any money, well, I guess you got to stop by the bank, right? Wouldn't it be natural to take some time to evaluate your Christian growth to make sure that you got your priorities straight also? Even in the beginning, even in the creation, God had a series of priorities before he created mankind. First, he created the heavens and earth. That was pretty handy. Then he created all the plants and the trees and the birds and the beasts of the fields before he created man and woman. Now, just take a moment. Wonder if he hadn't done it in that order. Wonder if he had created man and woman before all those things. Can you imagine them standing out there on a stony, rocky, dark, probably cold and blustery surface, wondering, what are we doing here? So God was kind enough, you know, he gave them the right things to have before he put them there. He created the perfect world for man and woman, but the man and woman had to have the ability to make decisions, and they made a bad one. And ever since then, God has been working step by step to get us back into that close relationship that he had with them in the garden. Moses and the law, the judges, the kings, and then the Messiah. And Jesus said the first and the greatest commandment, again, prioritization. In Matthew 22:37, he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." He said, this is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So this morning we're going to take a few minutes and look at some spiritual priorities, making sure that we've got first things first. Jesus himself, when he came to the earth, had priorities. He was not sent to the whole world, but he was sent to the children of Israel. In Matthew 15, picking up in about verse 21, "Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.' But he answered her, 'Not a word.' And his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.' But he answered and said, 'I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Then she came to him and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs.' But she said, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered and said to her, 'O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire.' And her daughter was healed from that very hour." Yes, because of her great faith, she got what she desired. But Jesus was pretty plain about why he was hesitating. He was sent to the Jews first. It would be much later when the gospel would be shared with the rest of the Gentile world. The Apostle Paul would acknowledge this was the pattern in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, where he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." If you get a chance, read through Romans chapter 11. It's pretty interesting as it refers to the Jews as the natural olive tree and that the Gentiles are branches of the wild olive tree that have been grafted in. Paul also warns us not to become haughty, but fear, as God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare us either. First things first. So what had happened that got them cut off in the first place? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. We'll read a few verses here, picking up in about verse 23. Jesus is speaking to these people, the scribes and the Pharisees. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be cleaned also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Even though outwardly they appeared to be religious to the world, professing to love God and making a show of it, yet inwardly, where it really, really counts, they were really dead. First things first, cleanse the inside of the cup and the dish, then the outside will be clean also. Another one of those first things. A serious note in 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, another first things for the church is a blessing and also a warning, picking up in about verse 14. Peter, writing to the church, says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, he's blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God, and if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Judgment begins with the church first. And if the righteous are scarcely saved, where will all our friends and relatives be? Truly an excellent question for everyone to ponder. But just like everything else that God has planned, there are certain steps to follow before the plan can be completed. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Picking up in about verse 1. Paul, writing to the church in Thessalonica, has this encouragement. He says, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to soon be shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. The son and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of profit in taking a whole bunch of time or worrying about when this will happen or wondering if a particular individual or organization is fitting the description that he's speaking about. Will it change anything in your walk? There are many things in this life we can get worked up about. Some may even seem to be noteworthy in their purpose. But each of us will have to ask ourselves, is that what the Lord would have me to first be doing? Save the rainforest. Yeah, I guess we need oxygen. That might be important. Stop abortion. Well, that could be pretty important. Reveal government corruption. Read the paper. Protect the Constitution. End hunger in America. Stop the pollution of our water. It's getting scary. Now we got brain-eating amoebas in the freshwater. Are you kidding me? Okay, swimming's over. No more lake swimming. Get humanism out of our schools. And the list goes on and on and on. Important issues around every corner. But what did the Lord say should be on the top of our priority list? Matthew chapter 6. It's feeding right into Brian's encouragement that he gave this morning about getting our focus on the right things and not getting sucked into the things of this world. Matthew chapter 6, picking up in about verse 33, Jesus speaking, he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Seek first the kingdom. What's the kingdom? The church. And his righteousness, that needs to be our first and highest priority. And the Lord said all the rest will fall into place. That's all you got to worry about. What about failure to put the first things first? Matthew chapter 13. Jesus is explaining the parable of the sower here. Picking up in about verse 18. Matthew 13 and 18, therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. There's one who heard the word of God, but something happened. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Just as Brian was bringing out, vanity of vanities. Everything is vanity, including decks on the back of your house. You can't let that deck overwhelm you. You know? I wouldn't miss assembly to keep working on that deck. I don't care how close I was to finishing. That deck is not worth it to me. And it's not just about what we want to do in life that can separate us from God, such as hobbies, you know, hunting, fishing, whatever. It can be relationships with people. Maybe somebody as close as your spousal unit. Do we gotta go again tonight? Weren't we there this morning? Happy wife is a happy life. Or you can suck it up and be tough and say, well, I'll catch you later. It's up to you. We need to make sure we put first things first. We have to have our priorities straight. Matthew 10, picking up in about verse 34. Jesus says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword, for I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." Priorities. Get them straight in your mind. Jesus said he's got to be first, and it can be a hard saying. It can be a difficult one. But if we truly love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and stop and appreciate the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, we can do this. What else could come between us and the Lord? John 12 and 42, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest that they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Personal pride and glory can pull you away. How about our relationship with this earthly life? Surely we're supposed to maintain a comfortable lifestyle. James chapter 4. Picking up in about verse 1. "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Do you like the things of this world? Well, there's some things that, you know, we enjoy. Me and the family went out for our, you know, some people go on family vacations. We haven't been very good about that. Usually it was permanent change of station orders. We went from one duty station to the other, and that space in between was our vacation. Stopping to see relatives before we went overseas or whatever. So yesterday, now this took 4 months to plan. 4 months, okay? I was trying to get the family all together in the same spot. All I wanted to do was like maybe go to a lake or something, take the grandkids, let them mess around the water a little bit, eat a hot dog or two, and then we'd go out to dinner someplace. 4 months for that to happen. 4 months. It was nice. It was nice. We went out, walked in the water with the grandkids, and took some photos and ate some hot dogs and went out to dinner, and all turned out well. It wasn't ungodly. It was nice to hang out with the family, but it's not my number one priority. And that's what we all have to keep in our mind. It's okay to have fun. It's okay to spend money on some things that you enjoy doing. That's perfectly fine. That's why God gave you the resources. As long as you keep Him first in your priorities. Not just in your giving and not just in your attendance at assembly. He needs to be your focus 24/7. Throughout the day, even when you go to work. Yeah. The young people and I were in our class and we were talking about letting go of the world and focusing on the scriptures and keeping our minds on spiritual things. And somebody said something about, and then we got to go back to our real life. I said, no, you got that backwards. This is the real life. Going to work is just a horrible nightmare that you're having. And you come out of that nightmare to the assembly, you're coming home. This is the real reality. Got to keep them priorities straight. It is easy to rationalize most anything we do, but God knows our real intent. And I want to offer you an example. It is not with anyone in mind. I picked this one because at one point in my life I golfed, okay? So I'm not picking on any golfers in particular. But if I were to rationalize that I will play in a golf tournament on Sunday by saying to myself, I will meet new people and hopefully share the gospel with them, and at the end of the round, not a single opportunity arose for me to share a scripture with the beer-drinking golfers, what do I say then? Well, God didn't open any doors of opportunity for me. Where would God prefer me to be? Sharing the memorial feast, remembering His Son Jesus who gave His life for me with the other saints, or chasing around a little white ball, hoping to speak spiritual things to people who have no interest in God? That was a real life example of mine. In Okinawa in 1993, they had a golf tournament that started on a Friday, went Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I wanted to play in the golf tournament. Well, that meant I was going to miss assembly. Of course, I went to evening assembly, but still, the point was, I rationalized in my mind, well, the Lord won't mind if I go hang out with somebody. Maybe I can share the scriptures. And the end result was, nope. Nope, just a bunch of beer drinkers. Ain't no scripture to be shared. So be careful about your rationalization. And you'll know the fruits of it when you get all done. Where should our priorities be? 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Picking up in about verse 1, Paul writing to the church in Corinth says, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God." There's a little sentence in that verse I want you to focus on. It's very powerful, and it reveals much about the heart condition of these people. But they first gave themselves to the Lord. A long, long time ago, Jerry Carpenter did a lesson on this particular verse, and it stuck with me. They first gave themselves to the Lord. That is how they were able to accomplish what they were able to do in their poverty. When we begin to apply this principle of giving ourselves first to the Lord, then all the rest is just a cruise downhill. Yeah, you're going to have trials and tribulations, but they're going to be a lot less important to you as you grasp the joy in the Lord. Another priority is our relationships with those here with us. Matthew 6 and 14, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Next week, some of you will notice that there is a door on the back of the school building painted bright yellow. That was me. Forgive your brother who trespasses against you. Some of you aren't going to like the yellow, I know that, so I'm asking for your forgiveness right now. Tom said I should blame him and he would blame me, but no, I want to take the rap for it. It's temporary. The door has rusted through and we need to replace the door, so when you see the yellow, say, hey, what's that John guy? But I forgive him. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, picking up in about verse 20. "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be in the danger of judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." First things first. Get right with your brothers and sisters. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, picking up in about verse 41. "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye." First things first. We've come here each week to participate in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim Jesus' death until he returns. But is there something that we should be doing first? 1 Corinthians 11:28 tells us, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." It's a process, step by step. If we make the Lord's priorities our priorities, things are going to go a lot smoother. There are no shortcuts. They only lead to trouble, like trying to figure out which breaker it is after you've removed the light fixture from the wall. Don't do that. There's also no shortcuts to the goal of heaven. The Lord made it pretty clear in the book of Revelation how this was going to work. In Revelations 2 and 10, "Do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." First, be faithful unto death, and then you're going to receive the crown of life. Wrapping it up, conclusion. Spiritual priorities are necessary for the successful spiritual journey through this life. There are spiritual building blocks that need to be put in our life first. Have we cleansed the inside of our cup? Is Jesus first in our life? Are we seeking first the kingdom of God? Or are we doing those things that will lead us away from the Lord after time? Are we consumed with the things of the world? Are we forming God into an image that fits our lifestyle? Are we denying God through personal pride? This week, as you go forth, consider what it means to give yourselves first to the Lord. Have you forgiven those who have offended you? Are you still hanging on to the offense? Are we getting right with our brothers and sisters before we come before the Lord with our gifts? Are we examining ourselves first before we try and help others out? Spiritual priorities, they are just as important as manning the priorities of your monthly bills. We need to know them, we need to meditate on them, and implement them as soon as possible. So after all our labors are over, and it's almost exactly 12 o'clock, the Lord can give us our crown of life. Amen. Hallelujah. Thanks for your attention.